Shall we pray?
Our Father, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit to apply your word to each of our hearts as it should be applying today. Thank you that we can pray that in confidence because you've promised that your word will go forth and it will accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it. May we all have an awesome sense and that we have been under your word and you have applied it to our hearts today. We would humbly ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Please open God's word with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. The Church Bibles, page 807. This year we've been meditating in the Gospel of Matthew during Advent, and our text today will be just verse 21. But let's read the larger section beginning with verse 18. Matthew 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. There are 256 names in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. One reason that there's 256 is that it's Jesus Christ in his glory and his beauty. It's infinite. How could you possibly describe the fullness of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ? 256 names. How many could you list? Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. Lion of Judah, Revelation 5. The Anointed One, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Revelation 19. The Author of Life, the Branch, the Bright and Morning Star, the Root of David, the Door, the Good Shepherd, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, Prophet, Priest, and King, the Only Wise God, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. That's only 25. 256. Why would he be given another name, and why the name Jesus? Why, by direct revelation from God, why wasn't it left to the parents to pick his name? God chose his name. God gave him the name Jesus. Why? It wasn't because the name of Jesus was unique. During that time, the name Jesus was a very common name. It's just the Greek form of the name Joshua. It's found in throughout the Gospels. In fact, it's found so often that you have to distinguish it's Jesus of Nazareth that we're talking about. Mark 1, 9. The co-worker of Paul was Jesus Justus in Colossians 4, 1. Even in the genealogy of Luke 3, another Jesus is mentioned. The irony, of course, isn't it, that Pilate released another prisoner in place of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his first name was Jesus Barabbas. Josephus lists 19 men called Jesus in his writing. After the first century, Jews stopped using the name Jesus for a boy's name because of the reaction against Christianity, and Christians stopped using the name out of reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the time of Christ's birth, Jesus was a very common name. He didn't receive the name by God's order because it was unique. But God gave him the name because of the meaning of the name. We're to reflect upon the meaning of the name. What's the connection to the Old Testament? Jesus, Joshua. What is God revealing in this name? Why did God not leave it to parents, but God revealed that his name was to be Jesus, or the Old Testament, Joshua, God intends for us to connect the two to see the reason why his name is Jesus. And so let's consider first then the Old Testament, Joshua, and then look at the connection to the New Testament, Joshua, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, Joshua, his name was given to him, and his name became his role. His name was given to him. His birth name was Hoshea. But Joshua's name was changed by Moses. We read it in Book of Numbers, chapter 13 and verse 8. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. That's this man. Verse 16, these were the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. It's appropriate at the sending out of the spies into the land to remind us again that Moses had changed his name from Hoshea to Joshua because of the meaning of the name. But we believe that Moses had changed his name earlier than the sending of the spies. Moses probably changed his name, we believe, from Hoshea, his general, after the victory of the Amalekites in Exodus chapter 17. The battle there of the Amalekites was an unusual battle. To remember, Moses was up on the cliff looking down upon the valley and the fighting of the forces. His general was Hoshea. And as Moses' arms were lifted up in prayer, held up by Aaron and Hur, the battle went in the favor of Israel. And as his arms began to falter, the battle was lost. The battle that day was won because Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms. And Joshua was victorious. An awesome picture that the victory comes from the Lord. Salvation is only from the Lord. And so in verse 14, God directed, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua, not Hosea, hears it. I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. And Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. For he said, hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. So General Hosea's name became Joshua. On that occasion, when it was very clear that the Lord has to be our Savior, the Lord has to be the one. It's not in the might of men. It's not in the forces of the military. But it says prayer of God's people, look to God alone as our Savior. And so Moses changed the name of the general from Hosea to Joshua. What's the significance of the name? When a name is given in Scripture, the name is significant. It could be tied to the personality or commemorating an event. But when God gives a name, it's particularly to reveal something. Hosea's name, the general Hosea's name, means salvation. But if you add God's name in front of it, Yahweh, Yah, in front of Hosea, Yeshua, his name becomes from salvation, Hoshua. His name is now the Lord is salvation, Joshua. His name was given to him, intentionally changed by Moses, that his name would be the Lord is our Savior. Why was his name changed? Because his name became his role. Joshua was the one then to be the leader of God's people, to be their Savior. God only is the Savior, but Joshua is going to be the instrument that God uses. And so by his name changed, it becomes even God's promise, God's revelation, God's prophecy. I'm going to use this man in that role of Savior as my instrument to save my people. Behind Joshua was the unseen God, our Savior, the omnipotent God, who is ultimately our only deliverer. But Joshua becomes the Savior small s. Joshua becomes the deliverer small d. And his role then is to be as deliverer, to be both the judge and the Savior. He comes as to bring judgment upon God's enemies. Moses died, and before entering the land of Canaan, Joshua became the leader of God's people to bring Israel into her inheritance. And as they met unbelievers, they were to be judged. Remember the first encounter of Joshua standing at Jericho, and what did he learn there? Did you see the layers of what's happening here in Joshua chapter 5? There's Joshua meeting the commander of the Lord of hosts, appearing as a man with a sword. And Joshua falls before this man, who we find out later is the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, who will be given the name Joshua. You see all the layers. And what is Old Testament Joshua to learn? That the Lord is the one that's leading in victory. This pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ declares to him, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. So you are just simply to walk around the city, because the Lord gives the victory. Not you, Joshua. I will be the savior of my people. Joshua's role comes to be judgment on the nations. He destroys 7 unbelieving nations. But to all who believe, he becomes the savior, such as Rahab and others. And so his title that is given to Joshua, Joshua 24 and also Judges chapter 2, his title becomes the servant of the Lord. Joshua, the savior, becomes the servant of the Lord, the man under God's authority as God's prophet, God's ruler, God's general, to bring salvation for his people. Old Testament Joshua, his role is not fulfilled as an ultimate judge or an ultimate savior. He was an honorable man, one of the great heroes of the faith, except for his error under the time of the Gibeonites when they forgot to seek the Lord. And so they trusted in the flesh and were brought into deception and made a treaty with a deceiving people. Otherwise, there's no blemish listed under Joshua's record. A man of courage, a man of brave heart, grave faith. Remember, it's only him and Caleb that give the reports of faith in the Lord to enter Canaan. But with Joshua, as an honorable man that he was, and with all of his triumphs, he could not remove the Canaanites. David, 100 years later, still fighting the Philistines. And Joshua certainly wasn't able to remove the spiritual enemies. He couldn't remove the spiritual heart in Israel. Eventually, Israel took on the same sins of the Canaanites, and God had to send them into captivity and judgment. So as great as Old Testament Joshua was, as the servant of the Lord, the savior of God's people, his victory was limited outwardly, and certainly no victory in the heart. But he became an Old Testament figure looking forward to, when will the greater Joshua come? When will the final greater Joshua come, that who will be the Lord is salvation? As the writer of Hebrews 4:8 put it, Old Testament Joshua brought Israel into the land of Canaan's rest, but he was only a type. It took the greater Jesus, our Joshua, to lead us into the final rest of the gospel. And even that isn't our final inheritance. We are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth. God commanded that this baby be given the name Jesus, or Old Testament Joshua, for a reason. God wants us to connect it to the Old Testament Joshua, Old Testament Savior Joshua, because he becomes the picture of the New Testament. Jesus, Joshua, our greater Joshua. And don't you notice that just as in Old Testament Joshua, New Testament Jesus, his name is given to him. And his name becomes his role. His name was given to him. His name will be Jesus. God revealed that. You shall call him Jesus. And when was his name given to him? By Joseph, you recognize, Matthew 1:25. He gave Joshua. Joseph gave him the name Jesus. Joseph, who according to Matthew 1:1 was of the genealogy of the son of David through Abraham, through Judah, the right tribe. Verse 6, he's of the tribe of Solomon. He is the heir to David's throne. So in verse 20, Joseph is called the son of David. Here is Joseph, the rightful heir to David's throne through Solomon. And so Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, Joseph, takes Jesus as his own son and, verse 25, adopts him. And when he gives him the name Jesus at his adoption, he becomes the legal son of David. He becomes the legal Messiah. He becomes the one legally to inherit the throne of David and the fulfillment of all of the covenants that have given to David. He receives his name Jesus at his adoption as the son of David. The Bible also tells us that he received his name at his circumcision. Luke 2:21, at the end of 8 days when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Why is that significant? Circumcision in the Old Testament, as baptism in the New Testament, is the outward mark to separate the baby of believers from the world, to bring that person into the visible church. Old Testament sacrament of circumcision was a bloody sacrament, symbolizing that only by the shedding of blood can we have forgiveness of our sinful heart. Circumcision, even then, the shedding of blood, looking forward to that day when Messiah will come and shed his blood for the new birth, for the new heart. Here comes Jesus to be circumcised, the sinless Son of God. He had no sin. Why did he need to shed his blood in circumcision? He was shedding his blood in circumcision not for his sin, but pointing to the day when he was shed his own blood upon the cross. And it was at his circumcision he was given the name, the Lord is salvation, because he was taking our place already, even as an 8-day-old infant in his passive obedience. He was fulfilling all righteousness for God's people, even already as our Savior. Circumcision was also God's claim upon his people, that they were required to obey him and keep the terms of the covenant. And here was the child of Abraham, the only one who could fulfill the covenant and keep the law of God. And at his circumcision, he was given the name, the Lord is our salvation, because he was already taking our place as an 8-day-old infant in his act of obedience. He was fulfilling all righteousness for us. His name was given to him in both his active obedience and passive obedience of his circumcision, and at his legal adoption as the royal son of David. His name, Jesus, was given to him. Why? Because his name becomes his role. Matthew 1:21 tells us, you shall call his name Jesus, for, here's his role, for he will save his people from their sins. That's his role. Here's the true Joshua. The Lord is our salvation. Jesus of Nazareth is not simply the instrument through whom God is going to bring about salvation, but here is God himself who saves his people. You see, that's what's said in verse 21. This baby's name is Jesus, which means God is our salvation, because he is the one to save us from our sins. Therefore, the baby is God. And in case you miss it, it's repeated in verse 23. Give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us, not simply in some vague spiritual sense, but this child, this baby, is God incarnate, come to be our Joshua, our Savior. Every false religion teaches that we have to try to find God and save ourselves by our own efforts. It's only Christianity where the founder says, I am God, come to find you, and I will save you. Only Christianity. He comes to save his people, Matthew 1:21 says. Notice it's not every individual in the sense that it's been applied to all and therefore there is no hell. Everyone will make it to heaven. No, the Bible says Jesus saves his people from their sin, all who put their trust in him for salvation. Just as the Old Testament Joshua was both a judge and a savior, and the 7 unbelieving nations who did not put their trust in the God of Scripture were judged, so too everyone who does not believe the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal savior will meet Jesus as judge. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God comes on him. He saves his people from their sins. But he saves his people. This is not a hypothetical Savior. It wasn't his death coming hypothetically to provide salvation, hypothetically, but for no one in particular. His death could only be an actual death of payment if at the moment, if and when, somebody might believe. You might hear the illustration some use, the salvation of Christ is like a blank check. It's only valid if it's signed. But hypothetically, if nobody had put their faith in Christ, his death would have been in vain. No, his death was not provisional. His death is not a conditional substitute for penalty. No, he came to save his people. Really? 121 in the Greek, it's he will save his people from their sin. The pronoun's an emphasis. He and no other. Praise God that the text does not say he came in the hopes that he might save those who in their own respond to his offer. And Jesus will give it his best. He'll give it all he can do. But after all, it depends on everybody whether they want to be saved or not. No, he will save his people from their sins. There's nothing contingent about it. When the Almighty God purposes to save his people, he will save them. Isaiah 14:24, surely just as I have intended, so it has happened. And just as I have planned, so it will stand. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ came to earth as a baby, God incarnate, grew up to be our Savior, completely obeying the law of God that he might give us his righteousness, and going to the cross and taking the punishment of our sins in our place as our substitute in his passive obedience. And when he went to the cross, he had your name in mind, believer, as he died for you. He came as your Joshua to rescue you and save you from your sins. I am the good shepherd, Jesus would say. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. John 10:11. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me. I shall lose none of all he's given me, but raise them up on the last day. John 6:37. Jesus died to guarantee your salvation, believer. Not just to bring about the possibility of it. In the Old Testament, Joshua's title, the servant of the Lord, grew in significance as time was marching on and God's people were waiting more and more for the Messiah, the servant of the Lord to come. Read through the book of Isaiah and how often the Messiah is given that title, the servant of the Lord. It goes even back to Joshua. But the Old Testament closes with a mystery. How will our Joshua to come, the Messiah to come, the servant of the Lord, how will he save us from our sins? It's a mystery until we see our Savior went to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another connection to Jesus as Joshua, or as Joshua's birth name, Hosea. You recognize that name as a prophet of the Old Testament, another Hosea, his name was given to the book of Scripture. Hosea, one of the minor prophets, was told to marry a woman who God had revealed would be unfaithful to him, a disastrous marriage. He would have three children, perhaps three children were not even all his. His marriage would be a sad truth. To picture that God chooses to love and redeem sinners, even sinners who forsake him again and again. And he will come and purchase himself to be his bride in advance, knowing that they are sinners, in advance, knowing that they will be faithless. And Hosea was called to be that picture of the coming greater Hosea, the greater Lord Jesus, to come and to give his life for his bride. That's how Messiah, Hosea, Joshua, in a far greater way, pictures Jesus, our Hosea, our Joshua. He went to the cross not just out of pity as a victim, but willingly as a conqueror. Our Joshua to lay down his life on our behalf as our substitute and pay for our sins to redeem us. He also went as our Hosea, as a husband in love to die for an unfaithful wife and to give his life for us because he loves us. He suffered for our sins, his sinful wife, so that we can return forgiven to the Lord. We are the church which he has obtained with his own blood, Acts 20:28. So therefore, husbands, Ephesians 5:25, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Jesus is the name that Pilate put on the cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews, the Lord of salvation. This is the name of his resurrection name, Acts 10:38. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. What's in a name? Why would God command that his name must be Jesus? The Lord is our salvation. Because this one coming is God himself, who is coming as our Savior, our Commander, our Deliverer, our husband who loves his church. God the Father gave him the name at his birth to reveal his role. 1 Timothy 1:15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of fullest acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ, his name is Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Christmas isn't for everybody. Christmas is for those who know that they need to be saved. Save is a strong word. You don't save somebody who just needs a little bit of help. You save somebody who has no hope in themselves. You save somebody who's in a trapped burning building. You save somebody who's drowning in impossible debt. You save somebody who's lost at sea. You save somebody who's stopped breathing. Heart has stopped. You save somebody in an impossible situation. Do you know that you need to be saved? Do you know that you're a sinner and it's beyond your ability to save yourself? You need God to come and find you and to save you. And you despair of your own goodness. You despair of your own efforts. And then you qualify for salvation for one whom Christ has died. As Spurgeon said, it's not my goodness, but my badness. It's not my merit, but my misery. It's not my standing, but my falling. It's not my riches, but my need. And if you can say that, Christ has come to die for the likes of you. Can you say that you understand what Christmas is all about? That God himself has come to earth to find you, to save you. Because his name is Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. In the 11th century, Anselm of Canterbury wrestled with a theological question. Cur Deus Homo, why did God become man? He wrote a book to answer the question. It's still available in some libraries. But with all respect to the great theologian Anselm, you don't need a whole book to answer the question. The question, why did God become man? The answer is, his name is Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12, except for the name of Jesus, the God-man, who's come to save his people from their sins. Shall we pray? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we are dependent upon you from the beginning to the end. We're dependent upon you to even open our eyes to realize that we need to be saved. And thank you that when you give us that awareness that there is no good thing in us, there is no, we are not saved by the merits of our own obedience and our own goodness. It is only because you then are drawing us to the Savior, who is our Savior for all who trust in him. We ask now as we come to the Lord's table that you will seal your word to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.